I'm back, in one piece this time. Before I talk more about my targets, I'm going to address a few concerns from my last post. A lot of you were concerned with my bite that I suffered from the ghoul. As far as I know, I haven't contracted anything. I was told whatever they did to him shouldn't be contagious. But I made them run tests regardless, all of which came up negative. They gave me a few special pills, but I was told that these were to help speed up the recovery of my shoulder. It wouldn't surprise me if they were hiding something from me. I just hope that if I do start craving human flesh, I would start having enough mental fortitude to pull the trigger one last time. Another thing I wanted to address is who I work for. I only ever referred to my boss as the government, and this is simply because I have no clue what branch it is. It's possible that this isn't the government at all, but I doubt that. It's far too ingrained to not be. It could be the CIA, but I'm not certain. The only questions I ask are the ones that will hopefully keep me alive longer. Now let's talk about a few more of my assignments. After my month-long break or recovery from Ghoul, I was given an easier assignment to ease my way back into things. Codename? Romeo. Romeo was made to be a charmer, and that he was. He was a true Adonis in every sense of the word. Romeo makes the statue of David look ugly in comparison. From what I can tell, he was designed to charm women, foreign diplomats probably, but instead he charms anyone and everyone, which is how he was able to charm his way out of the holding cell. Romeo isn't really a danger to anyone, though, except perhaps himself, should he find himself at the hand of an angry spouse, but I'm sure that he could get himself out of that, too. Finding Romeo was easy, but the hard part would be extracting him. He was always surrounded by a crowd, almost like a cult. If there was a high-class party, Romeo would be there. He'd never return to his room with less than 10 people following him. I would need a good plan to separate him from his entourage. I decided to attend one of his parties, just so I could get a better scope on the situation. It was crucial that I find any openings he might have. What I didn't expect, though, was for Romeo to approach me. "Good evening, monsieur. I do not believe that we have met. I am Romeo, and you?" Monsieur? Was that French? I think I almost threw up in my mouth a little bit. I guess I should have expected this, though. He has quite the ego, after all. It was good to see his charm wasn't working on me. I wasn't entirely sure why, but I think I may have something to do with my disgust at just how perfect he is. I'm James? Kinda new here. Nice to meet you, Romeo. I managed to respond. James, what a fabulous name. But alone at a party, unacceptable. Come with me. My friends and I are about to return to my estate. I will show you the finer parts of the city. Is that a sexual reference? Regardless, this was going to be much better than I expected. I was making direct contact with my target. If I went to his home, perhaps I could just wait until everyone else fell asleep and sneak away with Romeo before anyone knew better. I don't know, we just met. I wouldn't want to impose on you like that, I said, trying to play hard to get. No, I insist, you must. Samantha, go with my friend James here and guide him to my home. I'll be there shortly. There is someone I must see first. Romeo replied while motioning to one of the women from his group. Samantha did indeed guide me to Romeo's home. I already knew where he lived, of course, but I had to play dumb. Romeo's estate was a true mansion, with aesthetics that would make you think that someone had designed the home in the game The Sims. I was escorted inside. The rest of Romeo's entourage would arrive shortly after. I was offered some scotch that had apparently been aged over 100 years. I'm not much of a drinker, but I accepted it nonetheless. Romeo arrived almost an hour later, fashionably late to his own party. Once he arrived, he immediately approached me. "James, follow me. There's something I must show you," he said to me. I didn't hesitate to follow him. This was my chance to be alone with him. I could tranquilize him and be on my way before anyone knew any better. He led me to a room on the other side of the home. The room was something else. Something I didn't expect. The walls were covered with pictures. Men and women, each one of a different person. I think I even noticed a few of them from his group. "What is this?" I said without thinking. "These are the people that I've conquered, and you are next. Please, remove your clothing," Romeo said as he turned his back to me and began to remove his own clothing. I almost felt compelled to remove my own clothing. His words held such power, but I was able to hold out. Instead, I approached him and sunk the trinket to his neck. I made sure to duct tape his mouth. I had heard enough of his words for one night. Romeo was much bigger than me, so it was quite an effort dragging him out of his window and back to my vehicle, but I managed to do it before anyone got suspicious. I assume his friends simply thought that he was taking his time and conquering me. I dropped off Romeo and I made sure to shower extra well that night. My experience with Romeo almost made me miss my date with Ghoul. Almost. My next assignment would be a rather fun one. Codename Kong. What happens when you splice human DNA with gorilla DNA? Well, apparently you get Kong. Personally, I would have preferred to name him Caesar, in reference to Planet of the Apes, but I suppose he's not a gorilla. And I don't get to pick the names anyway. Kong is essentially a smaller version of Bigfoot, and before you ask if Bigfoot exists, I have to say I don't know. I haven't been tasked with hunting him yet. Kong would be a kill task. There's no guarantee the tranks would work, and if they did, for how long? Not to mention he'd killed two scientists during his escape, so they weren't too worried about him coming back alive. They just wanted to dissect what was left of him. I was given specific parameters as to avoid the head, if at all possible. They mostly wanted to examine the brain, and that wouldn't be possible if I splattered it all over the ground. Another problem I faced was my experience with long-range weapons. It had been a part of my training, of course, and I had gotten through the basics. But that's about it. I had been told most of my missions would be up close and personal anyway, so it wasn't that important. Well, it started to seem important now. Similar to Ghoul, Kong had taken up residence in a forested area, but since his diet didn't consist of human meat, he had chosen a much more secluded area. I don't think Kong really wanted to hurt anyone. He could have lived out his life in these woods, never bothering anyone at all, but that's not what the government wanted. My superiors informed me they had already done overhead sweeps of the area and were able to tell me exactly where the cave he was staying in was located. Of course, they had done the easy part, and I would get to do all the dirty work on the ground. I made my way to a vantage point, overlooking the cave, and set up the sniper rifle they had supplied me with. Now all I had to do was wait. And after a few hours, Kong finally made his appearance. He walked out of the cave and began to stretch his limbs, the way most of us do after we wake up. I steadied the rifle and aimed the crosshair over where I would assume his heart was. And I pulled the trigger. I missed. I hadn't taken into account that the wind had picked up since I started waiting, and the bullet had strayed to the right of Kong, hitting the rock of the cave. Kong didn't move, though. Instead, he simply turned his gaze towards me with eyes that were all too human. He didn't try to escape. He knew I would come eventually, and if it wasn't me, it'd be someone else. Kong had accepted his fate. I'd killed the Rippler, of course, but that was different. I'd done that while he was asleep. I didn't have to look into his eyes before he died. I almost wish Kong had been a monster like Ghoul. That way I wouldn't have to feel bad about putting him down. With a slight hesitation, I reloaded my gun. I took aim, accounting for the wind now, and I fired once again. Bullseye. Kong went down instantly. I made my way over to confirm he was dead, and luckily he was. He wouldn't have to suffer anymore. Kong weighed far too much for me to drag him back on my own. Instead, I set off a flare, and had been given for this moment, and waited for the air team to come and collect him. Sitting next to Kong's lifeless body really made me begin to question my line of work. I'd never felt so disgusted in myself, but I knew there was no way out for me. I'm already in far too deep. Perhaps the government has created another monster in me. And someday, they'll have to put me down too. But for now, I'm still doing their dirty work. If you'll excuse me, writing about Kong has really brought my mood down. I'll be back. I'll be sure to include one of my more exciting assignments next time, but I think I need to lie down for a bit. Until next time. Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I wanted to tell you all thank you so much for listening to tonight's story. Or watching tonight's story if you're on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, that means you're probably on the podcast that's available on iTunes, on the Google Play Store, and is now actually available on Spotify and doesn't use as much data. So, hey, that's a thing. If you guys aren't listening on YouTube or Spotify, then I have no idea how else you could have found me. Unless you found one of those books on Amazon. You know, the Creepypasta Collection, Volume 1, Volume 2. Those are things too. Oh well, I don't know how you would have heard me there, seeing as this was recorded like 2 years after those came out. Well, anyway, thanks for listening, folks, and sweet dreams.